The Antidote has been joined by Rachel Mann. It's good to have you here.
Well, I am so honored to be a part of your show.
Well, we'll see if you still feel that way by the end of this interview.
I love it.
This is your first visit to the show, so it's time to hear the details about your past. How did you first get involved in music?
So I started singing at the age of seven.
Seven?
Oh,
my goodness. Okay.
So I literally, like, I remember I just woke up one day because, you know, normal kids, like, they're just going to school and hanging out with their friends or playing, like me playing with my Barbie dolls, you know. The last thing I was thinking about is singing, because nobody in my family is singing. You know, my mom played the piano, my dad could play the guitar. But it wasn't like I heard singing all the time, like the Sound of Music. Like, there was no singing in the house. And I just woke up one day. I remember it vividly. I just woke up one day and I just started singing. It came out of nowhere. And honestly, ever since then, I think it's just because I knew it was something God gave me. I love it. And it's a gift. And, you know, I don't take it lightly. And so I just, yeah, I started singing at the age of seven.
Okay, I didn't realize how old you were at that point, but I did hear that back in those days, you did a solo cover of Michael W. Smith's Somebody Love Me. Now, does that mean that you were actually a fan, or was that something your parents forced you to sing?
Good question. I'm going to like this interview because I can tell you are going to have really good questions for me. Okay, so I grew up listening to Michael W. Smith. So, you know, back in the day, that's kind of like what you had. You had Michael W. Smith, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Petra, Whiteheart. You know, there were just some of these groups that most people just, they listen to them all the time. That's kind of just what you had. Mm-hmm. And I loved Michael W. Smith. I mean, I'm talking about like the Change Your World tour, like the Change Your World album he had. That was the first concert I ever went to as a young girl. I just loved his music. And so when I was 10, I actually ended up singing Somebody Love Me by Michael W. Smith as a solo in church. So that was my first time ever singing, like, with a background track, with a solo. And I sang it in front of all of my peers. And you knew that that was totally embarrassing because they were all laughing at me. But that was like my first time singing at church when I was 10.
Well, you know something, Michael W. Smith has a great voice. You also have a great voice.
Oh, well, that's really sweet. Thank you so much. You know, going back and listening to some of his stuff, I saw some sort of live video, like some the Dove Awards posted something of him singing back in the day. Place in This World, that's what it was, Place in This World. And he was just singing with the piano. Man, he sounded good. And there was like a guitar player behind him. I mean, he sounded great.
But now we get to talk about your own music.
Ooh.
You began recording actually quite a number of years ago.
Yeah.
What were you aiming to do with your music when it first began? Like, what were your intentions for it?
So the first time I actually recorded in a studio, I was 13. And it was in Dothan, Alabama, in this really small, this little recording studio that was off the road. Like, hey, come record. So I sang some like country songs like Patsy Cline, and I was just kind of getting in the studio just recording. I wish I knew where that tape was, because it was a cassette tape. I have no clue where it is, but I did. That was like my first experience. But when I graduated from high school, I was living close to Birmingham, Alabama, and I never had written any songs before. But when I graduated from high school, I started asking God, you know, hey, I would like to start writing music. And all of a sudden, all these songs just started coming in my mind. Like, I just started writing it down. And I really felt like God was saying, hey, it's time for you to start recording. And of course, I didn't know what to do. I lived in Alabama. I was like, where's there a recording studio around here? So honestly, what I did is I took a phone book out and I just went through the phone book and I went to the A's on the phone book. And there was something right there on the A's that says Airwave Recording Studio. So I actually called it up and talked to somebody. I came in with my parents, you know, because I was a little younger. So I came in with them, and it was a legit huge studio. Like, I mean, people, bands from all over the country would go there and record. I mean, it was huge. And so that's when I really started recording, when I was about 17, 18, like a true, true album. And what I wanted to do at that time when I was recording, I really wanted to get signed by a record label. And this is back in the day where you had to get signed. You were not independent. You had to get signed to get out there.
Exactly.
And that was my goal. It didn't happen, but that was my goal. So that was actually my ultimate goal at that age, was to get signed so I could start touring and traveling. And so that's what I wanted to do.
The busy life of being a musician.
Right. Yep. That was my goal at the time, for sure.
Well, you did me a big favor by sending me an early Rachel Mann song called Pieces.
Uh-huh.
And that was from 2011.
That was.
So was that one of those first recordings?
That was not. So one of my first recordings I did was probably around 2002, 2003. But Pieces was done after I moved. So I moved to Nashville in 2010. And that's when I started working on some music in Nashville, because that was also the goal. Like, let me move to Nashville and I'll start recording. So that's when I started recording Pieces, was when I moved to Nashville.
Now, Pieces is about having struggles in your life and depending on God to put everything back on track.
Yes.
Was that something you were actually experiencing when you wrote the song?
I believe yes, because I wrote that whole song. I did not have a co-writer on that song. I believe I started writing that song after I moved to Nashville, because leaving my house, moving to Nashville, that was kind of a big deal for me, because I'd never been out of Alabama. I lived in Alabama my whole life. And then, like, just moving up to Nashville like I did, just spur of the moment. It literally was like within a week I moved up there, and I literally had to surrender like everything to God. I was like, God, you're going to have to work this out, because I'm going by faith. I'm going by what you told me to do. And, you know, that's a song I definitely wrote from a place that God will pick up the pieces. And the words say, like the 99, when I fall out of line, he will pick up the pieces. And, you know, living up there by myself, you know, just having to figure things out, I know that that song came from a place of just trusting that God will do that, that he'll pick up the pieces.
Well, here's something about your earlier stuff, Rachel. The music styles went all over the place, but you know, that's not a negative. One that really stands out as being different is the gospel flavored Stand Up.
Oh, yeah.
But that was kind of out of character for you. What inspired you to bring in such a different style?
Okay, so Stand Up was one of my first recordings. That was from like the 2002, 2003 era that I did with my...
Okay.
Yes. Yep. So I was about 18 then. And my producer, Mark Phillips, he was awesome. He's passed away from COVID back in 2021. And I'm still like, oh, I can't believe that. But anyway, he was the first producer I've ever worked with. And he loved gospel music. He and I worked for a long time on this first album I did. He loved gospel music. I would go into the recording studio before we started recording. He would just turn on some gospel music really loud, and we would just sit there listening to it. And I love gospel music too. I mean, I know so many gospel songs. People are probably like, how do you know that song? I just know it because I love it. And so Stand Up is actually a style that I love. And so did my producer, Mark Phillips. So we both loved that. And he was like, let's do a gospel song. And I literally had like a kind of like a choir come in and sing behind me. It was really fun.
Oh, it was fabulous. It's so rich.
It is. And there's one part where the guys in there, when it says, and I say, and praise his holy name, and the guys are going, praise his holy name. It's like really like, it's so good. It's so good.
You know, something I've been discovering about your music is that there's often quite a stretch of time between your songs.
Right.
I already mentioned about the one in 2011. He had some more in 2014, a few in 2018, a single in 2020.
Yeah.
So what was happening with music during those gaps?
So the reason why there's such a gap is it costs so much money to record. You have to like make sure you have the money because it can cost thousands and thousands of dollars to record. I mean, it's not cheap. So in between those gaps, I would just sing anywhere a good opportunity open. I mean, sing, there's television opportunities, sing it at live events. I sing at a lot of places. Like I've got a lot of things booked up for this year. So kind of like in between singing, I do a lot of national anthems. So I just would sing as much as I can. Of course, do other things like acting and stuff too. So I was doing that as well. But mm-hmm. I would sing like any venue that I felt like was a good opportunity, a good venue. I would just, you know, put my name in and just sing wherever I can. So I'm always, always, always trying to find an opportunity. Like, okay, where can I sing? In between the recording sessions, I'm definitely doing music somewhere.
But you've never slid into being a Britney Spears cover performer.
No. Now, I love all types of music now. You know, if I'm singing at a wedding, I might sing "At Last" by Etta James. You know, that's like a request. So many people love that song, you know. But like, as far as like my calling and what God has placed on me to do is 100% Christian music. But no, I've never and I won't go into the Britney Spears realm. not my thing. That's not where I'm supposed to go. But no, that's not something I'd do.
Well, you just brought up the point, so I want to carry on with that a little bit.
Let's do it. Let's go.
That you're making music for Christian listeners.
That's
right. Seriously, you've got the potential to have more of a success if you went into the mainstream market.
I could. Yeah. That's really sweet of you to say that. You know, I'll say this. I think of the song "I Can Only Imagine" by Mercy Me.
Mm-hmm.
That song is 100% Christian. There is no doubt about it. You know what they're talking about. I'll stand before you, Jesus, and all of you be still. I can only imagine what it would be like to be in heaven. It is so obviously about Jesus and a Christian song. And they started it off on Christian music. However, it became so popular that it started branching over into the mainstream market. And mainstream radio was playing it like crazy.
Like crazy.
And still does.
Yeah.
They still play it. But here's what I'll say about me. I am open to whatever God wants from me. I am going to do the Christian music. That's my heart. That's what I believe that God's called me to do. But if he chooses, and if a door opens where like one of my songs branches out into mainstream, I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm.
My message is going to be the same. I'm still going to be who I am. But if God opens that door, I'm not going to say no, you know, because that's an opportunity for people that would never have heard it probably to hear it and hear the message and hear the gospel. So I'm all about it. If that happens for me, then awesome. But I'm not going to push it, but I'm open to it if it happens.
That does explain things. Because I was going to bring up the song "Roll with the Punches."
Right.
It's got this positive message that could fit into pop radio.
That's right.
But it's a little less Christ-centered.
So that one was actually co-written. That one had kind of a story behind it. So I wrote that in Nashville with two incredible writers. And it was co-written by one of them is named Chrissy Nordoff. And Chrissy wrote the song "Your Great Name" by Natalie Grant. So Chrissy's been a friend of mine. I've known her for a while. And when I was living in Nashville, she actually approached me, I believe, and the other co-writer. Her name is Morgan. And I think what her goal was to write a song, because they pitch songs for other artists. They write a lot of music and pitch it to other artists. Like Mandisa, they pitch some to her. Mm-hmm. Here, there. And I think that song was actually starting off as a pitch for another artist. So we wrote it together as something for somebody else. and nobody picked it up. So I liked it and I thought it was a great song. So I just said, well, why don't I just sing it? So I just chose, since it was a great song and it was a co-written by such incredible writers, and I thought it had this like a cool feel to it. You know, it's encouraging. You can sing it, you know, anywhere and be uplifting. You know, I really liked it. So I decided I wanted to record it myself.
Now I get it. But of course, your Christian faith really dominates your songs, like what's heard on Breakthrough.
Yes.
And I guess that's what the title track from the 2018 release.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The chorus says, now is the time that you get your breakthrough. Open up your heart and watch him press through. Hold on, be strong, watch my God pour his favor on you. Mm. Now, I do have a question about that people are bound to ask. What if God doesn't pour out his favor? Does it mean that you've done something wrong?
No. So I'll say this about this song and I'll answer that question. I wrote that song in a night, that whole song. I had just been accused of doing something horrible that I would never have done. I was such an innocent in this situation. Somebody, and it was a so-called Christian person that was accusing me. It was horrible. And I was like, why am I being accused of this? I did nothing wrong. And this person was going around spreading rumors about me. And it wasn't true. And I was like, God, you've got to do something here. And I went to a church service and there was this lady that came to me and she looked at me and she said, honey, you're going through something. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, well, let me tell you something. God always told me when I was at the end of my rope that a breakthrough was coming. And I said, oh, and immediately I was like, that is a song. I went home that night, I wrote the song, and let me tell you, at the end, because I had to forgive this person because they said something about me that wasn't true. At the end, this person came to me and apologized. She said she was deceived, she was so sorry, and she asked for my forgiveness. And I said, honestly, I've already forgiven you, but thank you for telling me. Back to the favor thing. My mom says this a lot. There's times in our life where we pedal, like on a bicycle, we're pedaling. And it's like we're trying to go up a hill and we're just pedaling up a hill. And it's like, golly, what is going on? Like things just keep happening. Even in a Christian walk, God never promises it's going to be perfect. You know, pedaling up a hill. Oh, man. And there's times that you're coasting. You know, when you go on a bike and you go down a hill and it's just easy breezy and things are just perfect. And it's like, oh, it's just like, what a great day. And then there's sometimes you wake up and it's like, why is 10 things happening at one time? That's bound to happen to any of us. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that he's not there. It doesn't mean that he can't pour his favor out. There's times in my life where it's real quiet and nothing is happening. And there's other times in my life where God is just like the blessings are just like one after another. But regardless, he is always there. And I have to think about the things that he does for me that are amazing that I don't deserve. Just being able to wake up every morning and walk out of bed, I'm so grateful. But there are times in our life where we're going to have great times, and sometimes it's going to be not so great.
Right. Well, you know, you were talking about riding a bicycle up and down hills, and that sort of segues into another song, The Road.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I guess you had some success with that.
Yeah.
What's cool about the song is that it's a duet, which really isn't very common anymore.
No.
But I do find that style makes the song more personal. It's like a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was one of my first songs I recorded with Mark Phillips, my first album. And it was actually recorded with Wes Hampton of the Gaither Vocal Band. So that's his voice. I recorded a lot of my first album was with Wes Hampton before he became a part of the Gaither Vocal Band. So I knew him and his wife. He and his wife actually sang background for me on Stand Up. Wes Hampton did a duet with me on The Road. We worked a lot together. Like we worked together for like 2 years
And then he got called into the Gaither Vocal Band. So I knew him before that, but I still, like, if I ever see him, I'm like, Wes, you know, what's up? But yeah, I co-wrote The Road with Mark Phillips. And he was like, hey, let's write a song that's a duet. Let's write a song about a road, like being on a long road. And so that's one of the songs I co-wrote with him. And then we got Wes to sing a duet with me.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What a thing. I just can't imagine you with anything to do with the Gaithers. I don't know. That just really throws me.
Yeah.
And it's only people that are Christian music geeks know where I'm heading with that.
Uh-huh.
You and I got to get into something a little bit more current.
Okay.
You released a single, Control, in 2020.
Yeah.
That one certainly fits the CCM mold.
Yeah.
But the thing is about CCM is that it can be an awkward music style.
Right.
I mean, I know that artists want to keep the music creative, but they still got to keep it comfortable for listeners who don't want to have their boundaries stretched. How do you manage this?
Well, good question again. Well, first of all, that song came out perfect timing because it was all around like when COVID started coming out. And the song talks about not being fearful, you know, especially with all that was going on and everybody was afraid. And
the government had you under control.
They did. And honestly, like nobody was doing music. Like we had to do all stuff on YouTube, like because nobody could sing out anywhere. And that was a rough time for musicians. I tell you what, an artist or whatever, anybody, but especially musicians and stuff. That was pretty rough. So I think it helps for me. First of all, I have to be myself. I grew up listening, again, to those Michael W. Smiths and stuff like that. But I also grew up, because my dad's influence, I grew up listening to Styx, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And if you listen to their music, it is so incredibly unique. It's like nothing sounds the same. Everything's unique. It is so cool. And people love it. I just never want to sound like everybody else. I've got to be myself because a lot of times the unique stuff is what lasts. It might not have as big of an audience, but it lasts. It's this underground movement, like it lasts. However, I think what helps with me is that I told my producer, Nathan, I said, listen, I've got to be myself and I've got to be me. However, I still need it to fit. If radio wanted it, it could still fit in radio. And so I think that what helps on that end is having a really great producer that understands that and does a really great job and knows what the radio is playing. So at least like if a DJ heard it, oh, this can fit into the genre. Like, oh yeah, this is still unique, but it fits. And I think that that's what I honestly have had to do is talk to my producer about it and tell him, hey, this is what I'm wanting, but I also need it to do this. And I think it helps when you have somebody that is a really good producer.
You have to explain to everybody who your producer is because he's a big deal.
He is a big deal. He is Nathan Walters. So he was in the singing group called Plus One. They are a Dove Award winning group, and they are the boy band Christian group that was very, very popular. And their music is still extremely popular. I mean, their streams are huge. This group can come back. Let's say it came back. Let's like kind of like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys coming back. And actually, Nathan's sister, Jacqueline, was just on The Voice this past season, Jacqueline George. And Nathan, when Jacqueline was doing her audition, Nathan actually got to be on The Voice. And they talked about Plus One again. So it's like Plus One is like kind of got out in the airwaves again. But Nathan's been a producer for a long time. I've known him for over 11 years. And he's great. He's one of the best producers I've ever worked with.
And Nathan is also the guy that I think has been helping you out with the new one, the just released song Unfiltered.
Yes, he did.
My opinion is that I do think that those lyrics are the best that you've ever written.
Unfiltered is?
Yeah. And the chorus says, stepping out of the shadows that are hiding me, pressing through the voices, tearing down the shame. This is who I am. You know, what I find that makes those lyrics intriguing is that I can hear a Christian who's been living a false front saying that same line.
Wow.
But then I can also hear that coming from a non-believer who is searching for substance in their life.
Wow.
I get to hear it from you now, Rachel. How do you envision the song?
That is so great. Thank you so much for saying that. I almost makes me want to cry. So that's honestly the same way that I envision it. I can hear this song being an anthem for people going through depression, mental issues. Like, you know, there's so much going on right now, especially with social media. You know, people are getting bullied. You know, there's so much is happening. And my prayer for this song is like, first of all, I want God to do with it whatever he wants to, like get it out wherever you want to get out to. My plan is to put it out on movie scores as well, because I just think it's so beautifully done that I think it needs to be on a movie as well. I really do. Like, I could just hear it on a movie. So that's one of the things I'm going to be working on. But my prayer with this song is that people, wherever they are, can be unfiltered. Like, don't put on a mask. You don't have to hide. Be your true, unfiltered self before God. Come before him. Hey, I need help. I'm struggling with this. I need help. Help me, help me. Because he knows everything anyway. Don't put on a front. Be honest. You know, if you have to confess things to like a close friend or, you know, somebody, that's okay. Be your true unfiltered self and don't be afraid to come before God. Don't be afraid to let him know what you're struggling with. But I think that it can go, like you said, both ways. It could be a Christian that's just, hey, I've got to work through some things, or somebody that's not and just has to come to terms with some things that they're dealing with. And I just really, really hope and pray this song encourages every person that hears it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, before this interview began, you and I were talking about the weather. Now it's time for you to give us your personal forecast. What comes next for Rachel Mann?
Oh, I love that. So what comes next for Rachel Mann? Rachel Mann is going to be coming out with some more music. I'll have another song coming out at some point soon that I actually is with an artist by the name of Terrell Davey. Mm-hmm. So I have another duet song I'm doing, and this is more of like the gospel flair. So I'm excited, and it's really good. And it's a song I was able to co-write with some great co-writers. And next after that is I'm singing a lot of national anthems. I'm singing in Savannah next week for the national anthem. So I'm doing something there. I just have a lot of gigs coming up. Hopefully we'll do another Christmas song because I love Christmas music. So hopefully we'll do that. And I just want to be, you know, open to whatever door opens for me. Definitely doing some traveling, doing some television stuff. I've got a lot in store, a lot going on. Yeah.
take some time to get some rest too, right?
I will. My birthday's in July, and my goal around that time frame is just to take it easy.
Well, I got to thank you for this chat, Rachel. I've really enjoyed this.
Well, I've enjoyed it too, and thank you so much for your time.